After weeks of wrangling, a framework for nuclear agreement with Iran was reached, albeit the details still must be worked on. As expected, President Obama guaranteed this historic, in quotes, deal, please don't call it a treaty, would cut off every path to Iran's developing the bomb. While one could surely appreciate the president's enthusiasm, since this is regarded as his legacy, it would seem that the president did not read the fine print. In most respects, the agreement is capitulation to Iranian dictates. It is a pain to utopia that ignores reality. The framework leaves Iran with extensive nuclear capability. It can continue to enrich uranium. It can continue to deploy 6,500 centrifuges. It will not be obliged to shut down one nuclear facility, particularly its underground center in Fordow. It will not face the threat of sanctions. President Obama, in what can only be described as hyperbole, maintains that this arrangement is an alternative to war. But the real alternative to a bad deal is not war, but another deal, one that forecloses on Iran's ability to produce nuclear weapons. According to the framework, breakout is permitted in 10 years. Remarkably, the P5+1 negotiation underscores a deal that approves Iran's nuclear option, notwithstanding the initial goal of prevention. Most significantly, not a word was struck on Iranian aggression. This center of state terrorism was not restrained in any manner on its worldwide terrorist activity and its threat to destroy Israel. Apparently, it is okay for Iran to provide sanctuary for al-Qaeda leaders, supply Hezbollah with rockets that target Israel, and realize its dream of a Persian empire throughout the Middle East. Here again, Obama dipped into the wishing well to contend that in time, with U.S. compliance, Iran will enter the community of nations and act responsibly. Of course, there is not a shred of evidence to support this claim. This is not the first time President Obama has confused what he wants to be true with what is actually true. When the president discussed the withdrawal of American forces in Iraq, he said, the war in that nation is over. Well, it may have been over for Obama, but it was not over for ISIL. The American people desperately want solutions and peace. They want the anodyne of a future without war, a world where U.S. intervention is not necessary. And as this nuclear framework suggests, Obama is giving it to them, at least rhetorically. What he is really giving is a world far more dangerous than the one he inherited. Knowing that Iran can possess nukes in 10 years sooner if it cheats on the accord, every nation in the Middle East will be scrambling to get nukes of their own as a deterrent. What should Israel do? An Iran that has vowed to annihilate Israel will be in possession of nuclear weapons that can recreate the Holocaust. Should Netanyahu sit on his hands and wait? Assuming a compliant Iran, a dubious assumption at that, does that mean Israel has a 10-year window before attack occurs? Prime Minister Netanyahu has several options. He can campaign against the deal with members of Congress in the hope the P5+1 arrangement will be rejected or modified. He can attack Iran unilaterally, setting back the Iranian nuclear program several years, but not indefinitely. He can attempt to coalesce with Sunni neighbors in a multilateral attack on Iran. He can attempt a naval blockade since Iran depends on imported refined petroleum. These are certainly not the only options, but he cannot simply sit back and assume deterrence will work. The questions abound. President Obama may have found his legacy, but history has a strange way of converting smiles into tears. Now that we know the framework, it is scary to entertain the upcoming details in June. There's a reason why Persia invented chess and we invented Disney World. They love checkmate. We love Mickey, Donald, and Fantasyland.